Hi, this is Patricia Lee Stotter. I'm with Marcia Rock, who's co-producing the documentary film Service, Disabled Women Veterans in Transition. A few years before Marcia and I started working, I had the opportunity to visit East Coast Assistance Dogs. As Marcia and I continued getting to know the women veterans in our film, we saw and we explore the fantastic relationship between these women and their dogs. What was amazing to me about East Coast Assistance Dogs is how early the healing relationship begins. It begins when the dog begins to be trained. So I would like to tell you, before I talk about the puppies, that we're talking to three people. Dale Picard, who is one of the people who runs ECAD and also does the puppy training. And Barbara Jankel, who works with ECAD as well as the Children's Village. And Kim Speck and Toby. Kim is a veteran, a woman, and Toby is a service dog. What I want to do today, because I think ECAD's training program is unique, is start with you, Dale. Can you please tell me, when you're an ECAD puppy, how does your life begin?
The ECAD puppy's life begins actually in our living room when they're delivered. I do all the delivering of the puppies, so they're all born in my hands in my living room up in Torrington, Connecticut, and we take it there one day at a time.
And how old, while the puppies are with you, what is the kind of behavior you have towards the puppies that would be different than if they were just going to be pets?
We spend a lot of time in the whelping box with the babies and mom. At first, the first 3-4 days, just really petting them while they nurse and talking to them. Even though they can't hear, we feel that the human touch goes a long way while they're nursing. They get to feel the human touch with the milk that's coming at the same time. So it's a very positive reward for the dog as they're being introduced to humans.
And after the puppies have gone through the home part, the whelping box, where do the puppies go next in the training process?
At approximately 5 and 6 weeks old, our puppies are taken off the premises and brought to a school campus, a private school campus, Green Chimneys in Brewster, New York, to where we go inside the schools and we go into the classrooms and we just sit down with these little babies and we just very quietly, we quiet down all the kids and we quietly pass these puppies around so they get touched by a lot of human hands at a very early stage in their life.
And could you tell me, please, a little bit about Green Chimneys and what kinds of kids are enrolled in those schools?
Green Chimneys is in Brewster. It has approximately 200 kids on campus, day and residential students. They range from actually kindergarten all the way to through high school. They're all learning disabled children. It could be anger management situations. It could be also co-adjudicated because the children were taken away from the parents, or they're not attending school. So we have a mishmash of all different types of learning disabilities on the campus of Green Chimneys, and those are the children we use to train our dogs.
And as those kids begin working with the dogs and the dogs continue being touched by lots and lots of humans, what do you observe about the kids and their reaction to the dogs?
Well, coming in with young pups like that, everybody likes to be able to cuddle with a pup, but the children haven't realized at that point that they have to be able to calm themselves down to be able to hold one. Otherwise, it's just going to wiggle crazy in your arms. So the first thing that they learn is if they want to be able to hold on to that puppy, they have to learn to calm themselves on the inside. And then the way they find that is by when the puppy finally falls asleep on their lap. And everything is just nice and easy going is when they realize that they've calmed themselves down.
So in a way, the puppy becomes a learning biofeedback loop, or that puppy is healing the person who's launching the puppy's career of supporting and helping people. Yes?
Yes. Yes, it's the start of the healing process for the child, and it's also the start of the learning process for the puppy.
And how do the children learn to train the dogs?
Our teachers, Lou and I, the ECAT, of course, is 15 years old. So Lou and I, early on in the years when we were both working on the same facilities at Green Chimneys, we wrote up a curriculum that works for these children. They have to be able to understand what they're teaching the puppy, and through time we wrote a curriculum that's at about third, fourth grade reading level that we teach to the children and make sure that they understand as we go along with the classes. So they're getting a book material coming at them at the same time as they're physically and actively training the animal, so it makes it easier for them to put two and two together to understand where they're heading.
And do the dogs live with them, or you bring them in for an hour every day?
The dogs travel with the teacher in the classroom, so the dogs are on the road an hour in the morning coming in, an hour in the afternoon going home. The dogs are themselves have two 90-minute classes. So they actually have two students working the same dog twice a day on each campus.
So these children who have had problems with traditional verbal word-based healing are healed. Can you tell me anecdotally what a child is like at the beginning of this process and what they're like at the end? When I know you move the dogs to the next stage of their training, but I'm just wondering what you observe about how these dogs in the process of being trained have already helped these kids.
Well, when the children come to us in September, we work on the school year with our program. So every September we start off with almost new kids, and all these children come to the classroom thinking that they're going to sit down and just pet a puppy or go to sleep with a puppy. They have no idea of what they're getting into. So as they come into us, they're behaving the same way as they do inside the school. They're shut down. They're reserved. They don't like to give you eye contact. They don't like to touch you. School is in September is very hard in a normal public school, never mind an alternative school, because when they come in, they're all terrified. It's scary for us to go to our first day in college. It was scary for us our first day in kindergarten. So it's about 10 times worse for these children, because their inability to understand stuff is worse than ours, even though we're all working with them. They still have a hard time to understand. So they're really reserved and shut down. But that you see that throughout the whole campus. You have a lot of arguments, kids acting out. The transition room is full because kids don't know what is expected in the classroom and turn the classroom upside down, and then they're sent off to somewhere else for somebody else to hold till the child calms down. But with the dog, you see these children, and within 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, we start having feedback from our teachers that these students belong to and say that the kids in the service dog program start learning a lot earlier and faster than the kids that don't participate in the program. The behaviors start changing 3 to 4 weeks faster with the children in the dog program because they have to learn to cope right away with their behavior to be able to bond with the animal.
So these dogs in the process of being trained are already helping these kids who have their issues. How do you decide when for the puppies their time at Green Chimneys is over?
We have a testing. All the commands is that there's a grading system for beginning pup, intermediate pup, and advanced pup, and they have to qualify so many points to be able to move to the next level. So that's how we grade them. It grades the student handling the dog, and how well the dog is doing the command. It's graded on a step of one through four, four being the best, one the dog doesn't know it, and then you just go through your series of commands that you've taught the dog, and it has to reach a certain level number-wise to be able to move to an intermediate from puppy. So that's how we grade them.
Can you give us some examples of what the student is expected to teach the dog in that grade one?
In grade one, it's all the obedience commands, sit, down, stay, come. A lot of recall commands are very important in that stage. Also very important in the stage when the puppies first come into class in between weeks 13 and 15 is the weeks that the puppy bonds to humans. So if it's not given enough time in those weeks of just sitting down in the classroom and cuddling and petting and doing that puppy talk, then they won't bond to the human. They'll just bond to another dog, and then you have a dog that doesn't want to be around humans. So in weeks 13 through 15, we spend a lot of time just sitting down, cuddling, having the kids fall asleep. It's a good time to teach our lectures because there's not a lot of movement in the class. You want everything just to be still, quiet, and hugging, and just love mode, you know? and that really gets the dog to buy into the human instead of buying into other animals.
And then stage two, grade two, is with the kids or not with the kids?
Stage two, they move into a different type of school. The intermediate schools are little older children, more mature children. So we take off from the obedience school, and now we move into the school where they introduce the balance of the commands. The first school would introduce about 50 commands and just tease with the retrieving and the light switch and stuff. Not really teaching, but just teasing with it so the dog can start seeing a picture of what we're looking for. When it moves into the intermediate school, then they automatically go to the harder stuff, the retrieving, the light switches, opening a door and retrieving something out of a refrigerator and starting to give it to you. And then stage two, we start tying the kids' hands so they don't target so much. So we're forcing the kids to keep their hands in their pockets. We start introducing the wheelchair, the walker, the crutches at that stage also. Because if we wait till they're 2 years old to introduce that, they haven't had a chance to acclimate to all the different pieces of assistive equipment that's out there. So you slowly, over time, introduce all that stuff. With, of course, you ought to do distraction training, balloons, umbrellas. You're trying to teach everything on the outside world in an inside environment. So whatever you're seeing outside in the world, umbrellas, large jackets, blowing in the wind and stuff, you want all that to occur in your classroom. So the dogs can startle, so you can verbally correct the dog, praise it for being quiet, and then letting it get used to that object until it's not fearful anymore, and then you move on again.